Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're reviewing is called Mr. Crockett. It's directed by Brandon Espy, written by Carl Reed and Brandon Espy, starring Jerrica Hinton as Summer, Aidan Gavin as Douchebag Kid slash Major, and you fucker, again. All right, well, let's get our Ari Lehman quote in for the day. Just get it out of the way. Pay our money to Ari Lehman. Get it done. What's the actor's name now?
Royalty check now. Elvis Nolasco.
Thank you. And starring Elvis Nolasco as Mr. Crockett. Plot of the movie is a mother embarks on Hail Satan. God damn it, Corey. Just throwing shit in there. I guess we're just going to get it all in the introduction. Fuck it.
No edits.
Well, I mean, no edits. Nah, we don't need any edits for that. That's pretty fitting, though, because he is a demon. But I'm going to say the synopsis anyways, or the plot. A mother embarks on a perilous quest to rescue her son from a demonic children's show host who is kidnapping kids. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I got to do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Mr. Crockett?
I really wanted to like this movie more because the initial trailer made me think of my childhood. You know, Mr. Rogers, Barney, shit like that we all grew up on. Don't laugh at me.
No, I grew up on it too, man. Go for it.
But this kind of missed the mark for me in many ways. We'll get to those. And there were a ton of cool scenes. And Elvis Nolasco was unreal with Mr. Crockett. But I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, man. I hear that. Elvis Nolasco in this movie stole the show. He was awesome in this. Amazing as Mr. Crockett. Like, obviously demonic. Just very creepy. And almost had Freddy Krueger vibes, except not as Diddler-esque. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Kate Hodder knows what I mean. We talked about this. So, Mr. Crockett was awesome. Not the movie in general. The movie, for me, fell a little flat as well. But it had a ton of potential. And I
the concept was super original. I mean, obviously, there's been many shows and even movies based on, like, a talk show host kind of character that caters to children.
Exactly.
And there hasn't been one that I know of that has that, plus this guy is a fucking lunatic and he's kidnapping kids.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's just kidnapping them to save them. So here's the interesting thing. Is he really a bad guy?
He's not killing them.
He's not. He's sending them to...
bringing them into the TV.
Yeah, just bringing them into the TV, into his own little world where they all have fun, but they all don't grow up. Kind of like Neverland, you know, with Peter Pan. They never grow up, that type deal. So they're always going to remain kids in his own little demonic world. And he treats them good. Doesn't do any sexual shit. None of that. He just is Mr. Crockett. Loves kids. Wants to give them a good life. The main villain in this fucking movie is Major. That kid is a
cool
dick.
Asshole.
Oh my God, is he bad. He is so awful. If there was ever a movie where I was hoping there was a dead kid meter, Major would be there. Awful.
Yeah.
He's awful. And I don't know what the hell was up with that kid. He was just a dick from the beginning. I mean, obviously, we'll touch on it because we have to talk about how the movie opens. and this random family, which kind of does set the tone for the whole movie. And it's important that some of these movies do this, where they make sure the tone is set early in the film so you're like sucked in. And we've seen plenty of movies that don't do that. This movie, on the other hand, succeeded in that. With the kid watching the TV show, and the stepdad calls him to dinner. He's a super douche, drunk stepdad.
Oh my
stepdad.
God. His dad was an asshole too. Or he's a stepdad?
Yeah, stepdad.
He was a dick.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's an absolute asshole.
He fucking deserved what he got.
Oh my God, yeah.
He got stuffed.
Yep. Stuffed like a turkey, not any like up the ass type deal or like, you know, anything like that, but it was like in his stomach.
He got sliced in the stomach and then got a plate of food shoved in there and then a clothing iron.
Yeah, was it? Oh God, yeah. Was it even food though? Whatever, yeah. He was about to serve I was about to throw up, and if he was gonna eat it on
it was
film.
Like a it was a pile of mush on a plate.
But there was hair in it too, like chunks of hair and all sorts of stuff. I'm like, oh God, that's like the shit that's like on the floor as you're like washing your floor, where it's like the mix of dust and God knows what. That's almost what it fucking looked like. It was disgusting.
Yeah. And so I got a question though.
Sure.
Well, the first time we hear Mr. Crockett speak.
Yes.
Who did you think he sounded like?
Oh, he definitely sounded like Tony Todd.
Okay. I was going to say, I hope that we had the same opinion here, because he sounded exactly like Tony Todd, which is fitting because unfortunately he just passed away like within the past week or two.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Tony Todd.
Fucking sucks because we just were sitting down at a bar next to him a year ago.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. You know, we should have met him. That's our fault. Take advantage of these things because you never know when these actors are going to die. So meet them when you can. We fucked up. We should have met this legend, but at least we got to sit down like in a panel with him. Like, not with him, but, you know, we sat in on a panel, listened to him talk about his life.
Well, yeah, we sat down in a panel with him, listened to how he was voicing Venom in that movie. And I'm assuming that his final role will be in that Final Destination movie.
Yeah,
if they started filming it. I don't know if they did.
Yeah, I can only speculate. I haven't actually looked into it, but pretty fitting. You know, died during Final Destination.
And then we sat down at the bar that night, and Tony Todd came in and sat down next to us.
Yep. It was awesome, man. Too fucking wild.
Rip, pouring out for Tony Todd.
Yeah, I don't want to do that because I have to clean it up. I'll just pour it in. I'll pour water straight into my mouth.
All right, you do that. So yeah, back to the movie.
Back to the movie. And this is so creepy. So have you ever seen, there's this short film on YouTube, and it's, I think, called The Box? Have you ever seen this thing?
I don't think so. It doesn't sound familiar.
Oh, God. It's probably, like, arguably the best short horror film I've ever seen. It's
Dick in a Box?
Yes, Dick in a Box. Exactly.
No. No, I'd watch that. The Box.
So it's like 15 minutes long, and like this guy is like just hanging out with his girlfriend. They're making dinner, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. It's like his best friend. He hands him a box. It's like a present. He's like, I got this present for you. And then he walks off. So he puts this box on the table, opens it up, and it's just completely void. He's dropping stuff in, and it's just like going into like fucking eternity, whatever. So he looks away, and all of a sudden he sees a head slightly pop out of the box. And every time he looked away, the head kept popping out even more. And it's so fucking twisted looking, man. Watch it. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because Mr. Crockett pulled the same kind of shit through the opening of the tape player.
Dude, this reminded me of The Ring.
Yeah. Yeah, this definitely had Ring vibes for sure. It had Ring vibes solely because of, obviously, the tape. The whole thing revolves around this mysterious tape that these kids are getting, whereas in The Ring, or Ring You, people are getting these tapes like handed down type deal, right? So it's like the same kind of deal. Like one's more handed down, one is just, it randomly shows up.
Did all of these like crazy things take place in the same house?
Two of them do, I think.
Because there's always that little library type thing in the front where they get the tape.
Right.
So that's what made me think it was the same house that all this happened, and it was just spread through many years.
Yeah, which makes sense. You know, the family has this random book thing, you know, give a book, take a book, and someone put the VHS there. Now, I don't know if someone's doing it on purpose or because he's a demon, he's able to just drop media into a box. Who knows? Now, initially, what I was kind of thinking is that this box just shows up. So the fact that it's happening at the same house twice, I don't know, was it just there the whole time? Because I didn't see that box appear at the other little girl's house, who I will talk about that scene in a minute, because I didn't see it pop up in her front yard. So it was only in, like, in this house's front yard. So is it possible that that house was the primary target for Mr. Crockett?
I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was always the same house.
Yeah, it wasn't always the same house. At least I don't think it was, because, no, it definitely wasn't. So there's a scene, and this is one of my major gripes about this film, because it felt like it cut off the story. So at the beginning, you see Mr. Crockett. He basically attacks the stepfather, takes the kid. The mother's left behind, whose name is Rhonda. Now, we cut to the next family, which is Summer, Major, actually just Summer and Major, because it's like mom and son, and the father is dead at this point. Now, Major, immediately I thought he was a dick, because he's like about to go to his father's funeral, and he's like, "Mom, can I just have my game?" And he's like, "What? Like, how long do we have to be here?" It's like, dude, fuck off. Wow.
I mean, in his defense, his stepfather was a prick.
No. That was his real dad. His actual dad.
Yes. Right. We zipped forward, right?
Yeah, we zipped forward a little bit. But yeah, that was his actual dad. And completely void of any emotion whatsoever.
Yeah, no, it's just a fucking shitty child.
He's a shitty child. You see him just playing his Game Gear. Yes, I said Game Gear. In the church, just looking down. Everyone's crying around him. He's just doing his thing. He's such a douchebag kid. I didn't like him from the beginning as soon as I saw that. I was like, I hate this kid. And
yeah, so that was Crockett's thing, though. He would, like you said before, he was rescuing these kids from shitty situations. If they live in a shitty home situation, he, quote-unquote, rescues them by pulling them into his fantasy world.
Exactly. And it wasn't even really that shitty of a situation. Honestly, I think he was making it into a shitty situation. His mom was just doing the best that she could, and then she had a moment where she just lost it on him, because who could blame her? This kid was a dick. You know, she tried to do like the nicest thing. He woke up and was having a bad dream. She went to check on him, and she's like, "I'll always be there for you. You can use this whistle and I'll just come running." And next we see he's just running around the house using the whistle the whole time, when it was supposed to be symbolic to, "I'm always going to be there for you." Instead, he's just like, "Oh, this is a fucking toy."
Yeah. So, little asshole.
Yeah, he's a little asshole. Drove his mom nuts. And then she snapped and said, oh, actually, I don't even remember what she said, but it was something along the lines of like, I don't want to be your mother, like, or some bullshit. You know, things that people can say. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was something along that, like, I wish you were never born, kind of stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, you say these things in, like, the heat of the moment, and who could blame her? Shit happens. I mean, it doesn't make her a bad mom by any means. I mean, eventually she ends up going into that fucking dimension to save her child, even though he is the most ungrateful son of a bitch I've ever seen. I don't like him. Corey, I really don't like him. He's a dick.
No.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, like, cut such a promo on a child in my life. So anyway,
Fuck. He especially, that child deserves to die in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't care. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
He deserved to die. But
wow.
Mr.
Yeah.
Crockett was rescuing them and just keeping them in. I was calling it the Upside Down the whole movie.
That's fair. I could say that's something like the Upside Down. It's really fucked up. It's like an alternate world, whatever. So Mr. Crockett makes an appearance, takes the kid, and then, well, actually, let me clarify here. So I think first it's the girl. They just cut over to this other family. And it's like this young girl and her dad, who's a heroin addict. And you see the same thing. The father is like talking to Mr. Crockett, and Mr. Crockett's giving him hell, you know, and all this shit. The father's holding a gun on him. He tries to shoot it, and a bubble comes out. Pretty funny. So Mr. Crockett then, with his words, because he's a demon, he can fuck with people however he wants. And he takes this gun, he puts it in the father's mouth. Oh. Now, I'm thinking we're going to see brains splattered everywhere.
Yeah. Well, didn't he make him do it to himself?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That. And also, interesting kill on this part.
The bubbles?
The bubble that blew up his head.
Yeah, I'll give this movie credit. The deaths were awesome.
The deaths were really cool in this. So a bubble, as if you were to buy a bubble machine or one of those bubble guns for a child, the bubble blows up and splits his head in half. It's wild. It's an awesome scene. Mr. Crockett goes and sees the girl, takes her to the alternate dimension that he's in. But what's happening is Rhonda's outside watching him. Now, the reason why I don't think this scene is necessary, though the kill is good, I feel like this could have easily been summed up just by a flashback of Rhonda looking through the window and seeing Mr. Crockett. It didn't need to be the whole thing. It just needed to be that she saw Mr. Crockett kill the father and take the child. It was fine, but if I was just to do it, because this is supposed to be simply just like a memory of her seeing it, that's all it would have really needed. But we got this full sequence anyways, and I don't even think I remember seeing that girl in that upside down. We're going to call it the upside down because I like
Rhonda?
That. So, yeah, Rhonda's just hanging out in the window and, like, watching all of this happen. And now, we didn't need this full scene. It could have just been Mr. Crockett takes Carrie after Rhonda sees the aftermath of this whole thing happen. We didn't need the full sequence. But it could have really gone either way. Me, personally, I thought it just kind of broke up the flow of the story with Summer and Major in the hopes that it's going to tie Rhonda to the rest of the story. When Rhonda's already tied to the story through the beginning with her kid being kidnapped.
Yeah, I completely forgot when Rhonda ends up holding Summer at knife point. Was it knife point?
Yes, knife point.
I completely forgot that until you were talking that Rhonda was in that very first scene with Major.
Didn't look like her, right?
No, that's why I was like, who the f- this is just some random, like, was she like she's an addict now.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I don't think she was an addict. She was homeless because probably couldn't pay the bills after the stepdad got slaughtered and then her kid got taken. Now, that's enough to send anyone into fucking insanity. You've seen all that shit happen, especially by a demon who's just using his fucking marker to make a doorway into his realm. I mean, that's going to make anyone go crazy seeing that shit. So she probably went a bit nuts, became homeless, made a halfway decent setup in her hobo hut, I guess. And then somehow she has these like kinetic abilities where she can put her hand on the TV and see what Mr. Crockett's going to do next.
Mm.
I don't know where she got those powers.
Never explained.
Never explained movie magic. So you would think something like, oh, I come from a long line of mediums or whatever, and Mr. Crockett fucked up by using the airways to target who he's going to save next. Save, quote, end quote. You know, not really saving, but at the same time, yeah. So that's never explained. It's fine. It works, but it's not really adding to the story. At least we know where they can go, because otherwise, if that lunacy didn't happen, we wouldn't know where he would strike next, because he strikes at random.
Yeah, we don't ever get any insight on how he chooses these kids either.
No, he just randomly shows up when he hears a kid in trouble. You can count on him. That song, by the way, is fucking ridiculous. Whenever you're in trouble, you can count on me.
The songs were awesome. Like that one he sang in the beginning, that Friend Like You one.
A friend like you is, dude, a friend like me.
See, I had that shit stuck in my head like all day after I watched this movie.
Not surprised, man.
And probably even the next few days, I yeah, it's so catchy. All the songs, but that's the thing. Like all this shit reminds me of Mr. Rogers.
Because mm-hmm.
There was always those songs
exactly.
That got stuck in your head.
Yeah, they were all designed that way, man. All those kids' songs just get stuck in your head like you wouldn't believe. And poor parents. Like, they're watching the kid as they're watching whatever, and the song ends up getting stuck in their head. They're just innocent bystanders. And that's how we grew up, man. We grew up in these interesting times where we'd be watching GBH or something like that, and Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers, all that stuff would have these super catchy songs that would just constantly get stuck in our parents' heads.
Uh-huh.
It was
yeah, and they hated us for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a good time though. Good times. So they end up at this house. I don't know what happened to the parent, but head gone, arms off. Just
yep.
Whatever's left is just like completely split apart. So he pulled some shit where this guy was just annihilated, absolutely annihilated. So he gets the kid and guides them through the fucking hole to his realm or whatever, and they show up. But he knows that they're fucking there. And this is kind of an interesting scene because what happens is they end up running downstairs because they're trying to get into that portal as well. And it's Summer. And oh, by the way, it's this guy that she randomly met. And it's important we mention him because there's like a big plot twist, which I thought was cool. I mean, we'll talk about that, though. So they go down in the basement where the door to his dimension is, and they run in. But not before we think there's an off-screen death of Rhonda. And it was weird how he did it. Rhonda's about to run downstairs to the basement. He grabs her, stabs her with, like, a chair leg or something in the back. Door slams. All of a sudden, it opens up, like, literally a second later of him just standing there. I'm like, how did you kill someone that fast? Did you, like, stab her, throw her, like, just yeet her across the room and hope that she's dead? Like, what happened? Maybe, like, we don't know. We eventually find out in what I thought was a really weird ending that she was still alive. Now, they end up in his dimension. It's just Summer and that random guy she met who believes her about this whole Mr. Crockett thing. So they're hiding from him. He's there with the kids, all this stuff. And then we find out that guy that believed her, Eddie, that she randomly met. We find out through an animated story of why Mr. Crockett is the way he is. Now, the reason why he's that way is that he was like an aspiring children's host. That's what he was trying to be. Now, he wanted to make sure the kids were safe because as a child, he was beaten by his father. And he never wanted kids to go through that kind of torment that he went through. Now, what happened was he ends up kidnapping this kid because the kid was also in a bad situation. He looked like the saddest kid ever on his show, and he wanted to make sure he was okay. So he ends up kidnapping him, and the kid's hanging out with him. They're having a good time. Nothing sexual is happening. Just he wanted to make sure he's safe. Cops storm in. He kills two cops. Well, stabs him, I guess. And then another cop comes in and starts firing away. And he's like aiming at the child for some reason. And Mr. Crockett jumps in away and takes all the bullets. So still towards the end, saving a child. And then he gets sent to hell. And he makes a deal with the devil. And the devil's like, well, you can have your own realm. We just need children.
Okay. Your own realm.
Yeah. Yeah, gave him his own realm. Hell of a deal, I guess. So good for him to make that deal. Now, we find out Eddie was actually that child in that story. So I'm like, oh, that's an interesting turn. I actually kind of didn't expect that.
One thing we didn't talk about was the creature design.
Oh, yeah.
I love these puppets so much, dude. They reminded me of Chuck
E.
Cheese.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Do you remember the Chuck E. Cheese characters?
Oh, I do remember the Chuck E. Cheese characters. And I also
remember a lot of that.
What's the, what's the Nicolas Cage movies? Oh, Willy's Wonderland. That type shit, too. Like the animatronics? Hell yeah. So the chair definitely reminded me of Cherry from Pee-wee's Playhouse. And now that's a show I watched all the time as a child, especially like on the Saturday mornings type deal. It was awesome. And you know what? When Adult Swim had it on and I was up late at night and I was just kind of flipping through channels, guess what I'd be watching? Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not relive my childhood a little bit?
Rest in peace, Paul Rubens.
Rest in peace, Paul Rubens.
Hey, remember seeing what's-his-face in Stream? Now I can't remember his name.
Which one?
What the fuck?
There's so many of them in Stream.
No, I know, but it was, you pointed it out. We were watching the movie. It was someone from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I believe.
What did I point out?
Oh, Mark Holton.
Mark Holton.
Who played Francis in Big Adventure.
Yes, Francis. Francis.
Yep.
Where's the bike, Francis?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, man, I love the movie as well. Actually, have you ever seen the newer Pee-wee movie?
I don't think so.
No? Oh, man. Oh, my God. We were gone for the weekend, me and the guys. Actually, I think it was just me and Sean. We were recording for our last album. Now, we're hanging out at the engineer's place, the guy that recorded us, mastered us, all that stuff. So we take some Eddies, smoke some weed, and then we watch the new Pee-wee movie that was on Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, my God, man. I haven't laughed so hard in my entire life.
Oh, wait. You're right. I forgot they did it was a Netflix movie specifically, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. I did see that. It was Big Holiday. It came out in 2016.
That's it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Big Holiday. Yeah. Oh, man. That was fucking great. I love that. I haven't seen that since then, but I remember laughing my ass off. I probably don't want to watch it again because of how much I laughed then, but the Spanish portion, the Barrio Candido, Pee-wee. Every yep. time he was like messed up or whatever, he like heard things in Spanish. That was killing me. Like, you wouldn't believe.
I might go rewatch that when we finish this.
You know what? I might do the same. And then we'll review that. No, we won't do that because that's not even horror. It's just going to laugh our dicks off. Fucking such a ridiculous movie. I love it. Okay, so a lot of these characters, they did have the feeling of like the animatronics that you see at Chuck E. Cheese or Pee Wee's Playhouse. Very cool. They looked great. Also, what we find is that this kid was Eddie. So Eddie's all grown up. He's trying to talk to Mr. Crockett, and Mr. Crockett is just not having it, you know, because he's not a child anymore. That's not his thing. He's, you know, he's too old for him. I guess he has a thing for children. But again, not a sexual thing. So we don't have to worry about that. You can watch it. You're not going to get all fucking weird about that stuff. He just likes to kidnap kids and hang out with them. I don't know, he's a weirdo.
He thinks he's rescuing them.
He thinks he's rescuing them. And that's the important thing to keep in mind, is that he thinks he's rescuing kids. And he's not doing anything else. He's not killing them. Nothing like that. They're literally just fucking hanging out, vibing in hell with him. So I'm going to say hell, because it's like his upside down world is kind of like a spinoff of hell, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a spinoff. It's a spinoff show. So,
it's much nicer, though.
Yeah, I know. It is much nicer than hell, that's for sure.
Every time I think of hell, I think of South Park.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good one.
The South Park movie?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. I think Little Nicky sometimes.
Okay, yeah, just the Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Doing Adam Sandler things.
Exactly. You know, oh, God, we haven't mentioned Adam Sandler in a while.
It's been a while. I don't know if he still is, but he's been around Bedford and Manchester this week.
I noticed. I have him coming over later. We're going to hang out.
Why didn't you fucking get him on the podcast? He could have done a Little Nicky impression for us.
Can you imagine? That'd be funny. He just shows up. Hey, Steve, what's going on? I'm recording a podcast. You down? It just shows up the last couple minutes. Whatever.
Oh, man, that'd be funny.
That would be amazing. Maybe on the our third anniversary of 30 Screams or Less, we'll
That's get... in like a week.
I know. It's in December, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, episode 90 is coming next week after this episode. Isn't that crazy?
Is this 90?
No, this is 89.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so we got one more, and dude, we're closing in on triple digits.
Holy shit.
I know.
Didn't think we'd do it.
I know. And here we are, nearly 100 episodes later. It's fucking crazy. Hey, that's more than most podcasts say. You know, usually they'll get started and they'll drop off like a month later.
We should make 100 our last one.
What are you talking about?
But this is my resignation. I'm going to 100 and then I'm done.
You're resigning. I'm going to get fucking James McAvoy then.
I'm setting this up for you.
Are you,
I'm
okay.
doing you a favor.
Thanks. You're taking one for the team? You're laying down on the sword?
Yeah, I talked to James McAvoy, and he said that he would jump in at 101.
Perfect.
If we could get to 101, he would join.
101 James McAvoys?
And I had to be gone.
I mean, it's a fair deal.
Yeah, so enjoy, Steve.
Thanks. You can be a guest host occasionally.
All right, perfect. I'll go from the co-host to the guest host.
Perfectly fine with me, as long as you get James McAvoy.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go back to this real quick. So, Summer, and again, this kid is a pain in my ass. Summer is trying to get Major to leave with her. So, he has to choose between her and Mr. Crockett. Now, I'm thinking that Major's doing the right thing. He ends up walking to his mother and giving her a hug, and we think that he's going with her, and that she's going to be able to leave, and the rest of the kids stay in hell. Major's out, and end of story, right? That type deal. So he's talking about a father figure for Major, and he's saying, I think he would rather stay with me. And then we see Major look up, and his eyes are like static from TV, like back in the day when that was an actual thing. So his eyes are all static, and he goes back to Mr. Crockett. Now, Mr. Crockett has this magic marker, which I mentioned before, and he draws a knife, which is cool because he gives the knife to Major, and Major is going to have to stab his mother. Now, not before Major wraps his arms around him and gives him like a hug. And it's important I mention that because Major goes to his mother, and as it looks like she's about to get stabbed, he drops the knife, but he hands the mother the magic marker that he was using to go between realms and all this shit. And she cuts Mr. Crockett in half. Brutal.
Yeah, again, the practical effects and the kills in this movie were really great.
They were.
And that's why I'm not rating the movie lower, honestly.
That's fair. Yeah, we'll go into that in a second. But basically, this whole movie is set up to have a sequel, like you wouldn't believe. There's a ginormous cliffhanger at the end.
And there is, and there's definitely potential because they could keep this going, even with a different host.
Yeah, they could.
It doesn't have to be Mr. Crockett.
It definitely doesn't. Now, she manages to escape this hell with all the kids. This scene was weird. And let me tell you why this scene was weird. Rhonda didn't die. But the next scene we see her, she's at church. She's helping with like a clothing drive. She's got an arm in a sling. But dude, she's looking real nice. Like hair's did, wearing nice clothes, wearing makeup, all this stuff. Meanwhile, literally minutes before that, where she was dead, she was very homeless looking. Her hair was a mess.
Yeah.
And everything.
That's what I was talking about earlier. She looked like obviously homeless, but she looked like she might have had like a substance abuse thing going on as well.
Exactly. And now she looks
like the queen.
Exactly. Perfectly fine. Now, that happened so fast. And I guess Summer maybe had Rhonda's kid the whole time. I don't know if Rhonda was in the hospital or something like that. It was very unclear that... Did she just bring all these kids back, dropped them off all at home, but kept Rhonda's kid just for now until who knows whether Rhonda survived or not? She didn't know if she did or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have no idea.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. But Rhonda did survive the attack with the chair leg or whatever and got her kid back. Now we cut to the next scene, which this is pretty much final scene wrapping it up here. We find out that Major's been saying some shit to the kids on the schoolyard that Mr. Crockett's going to come and get them if their parents act up, that type bullshit. Same thing that was happening before. And he's freaking all the kids out. And they basically want to expel him because he's causing some shit. Next scene, Major's upstairs. He's drawing. He draws his mother. He draws him. And then he draws Mr. Crockett. And it's like mom, son, and dad. So he sees Mr. Crockett as a father figure. So I'm like, okay, so he's lost his fucking mind.
Yep.
He's been crazy the whole time, really. Major's been nuts this whole entire time. And he's got the marker, the magic marker. Now...
You really hate this kid.
I don't like him. I really don't. So he has the magic marker. And at any point, he could use that marker to bring Mr. Crockett back into the real world. So he could use that anytime, or he could just use it and walk straight into hell. And that's the cliffhanger, is that this could happen. But of course, then there's a stupid jump scare at the end, which I always find cheesy. It wasn't even necessary, but why not, right? So, end scene, fade to black. That's pretty much it. Corey, what do you give Mr. Crockett?
So this is going to get 3 out of 5. There are specific actors that are born to play specific roles. And I always relate to like Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis Nolasco was absolutely born to play this character, Mr. Crockett.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I enjoyed it. Again, it basically applies to those of us that grew up in the 90s because the inspiration here was probably Mr. Rogers in the Ring.
Yeah.
And Barney and shit like that. Super catchy, original songs as well that now actually live rent-free in my head. But as I said before, this is kind of a miss for me.
Yeah, it's too bad, man, because Mr. Crockett had a lot of potential. Honestly, I think he could be a pretty pivotal horror character if they did it right. Now, maybe they'll succeed in a sequel where they failed in the first. You know, they just learn from their mistakes. Hopefully, that's the case, because if a second Mr. Crockett comes out, I'll definitely want to check it out. I didn't think it was like bad by any means. So with that, I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5 on this one. I like the premise and Mr. Crockett twisted. However, there were scenes that felt completely unnecessary, like the scene of the girl whose father was a heroin junkie. I don't think it needed to be in there at all. It could have been reworked to be a smoother transition because I don't even remember that little girl being one of those kids at the end. So we don't know what happened. I mean, she was probably there. She just didn't look like any of the kids. They could have did something different. Like, for instance, they could have had Major be friends with the girl and then she goes missing to help tie the victim more together with that family who's Summer and Major. So I think if they did something like that, if they made them friends, that would help make it more cohesive. But I will say this, Like I said, the real villain of this movie is that kid Major. He sucks so bad.
Damn, dude, you keep going after this kid.
Fuck him. He's
fuck them kids.
Doesn't give a shit about his dad dying, gives his mom shit, just wants to stay in hell with Mr. Crockett. That's a demon. That's an absolute demon. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Mr. Crockett. It's directed by Brandon Epsi, written by Carl Reed, and also written by Brandon Epsi. Written by Carl Reed and also written by Brandon Epsi. Why am I saying his name wrong all of a sudden?
What is happening?
Oh, that's why. That's why. Okay. Ready for this? Directed by, I put Epsi and written by Espy. Jesus.
You were close.
I was close. C for effort.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me go through that again because that's a fucking hot mess. No wonder why I was getting all screwed up there. I'm like, that doesn't look right. What the hell's happening? My brain just couldn't compute.
I heard.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
You 404'd.
I 404'd.
Fucking. You snapped.
Error not found. Fucking. The page not found. All that bullshit. Jeez. Fucking help me.